Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Sunday morning here in London, and this is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space here live again. Lizzie, we're doing this again for the 100th and who knows, 10th or 9th week of Turning Towards Life. And I want to start, as we always do, by welcoming all of you who are here. Thank you for joining us. People on your bikes and in your cars and walking with a podcast in your ears, and people who are watching us later on our YouTube channel from our website, and those of you who are with us live this morning. And I feel appreciative of all of you who join us, but right now I feel, Lizzie, particularly appreciative of those people who are here with us live, because knowing that as we do this, there are other people who are here with us and there's no going back. We can't say, whoops, that didn't go so well, and go back and edit it or something. It's real and immediate. That's a big part of what makes all of this possible. So we're glad you're here, and we have a wonderful source that Lizzie has written for us this week, and it's always such a treat, Lizzie, when something that's come from you comes into our field together. So thank you for that too.
Hello, everybody. Good morning from me as well. Welcome. It's another hook or by crook week, because I have no idea. Little baby Vespa is, I've tried to have her be fed and go to sleep ambitiously for this, but she didn't manage to do that. So she is snuffling around, and who knows, Matthew might come in and give her to me or something. I'm not sure what's going to go on, but we'll see what happens. He's normally does a great job of just calming her and bouncing her around, and so it should be fine. But it is wonderful to be here, and I can feel the draw of doing this, and feel glad to have written something whilst on the sofa feeding Vespa on Friday. And somebody asked about why or where this source had come from, where I'd written it from and how come, and I think that'll probably be borne out in the talk we have about it, Justin. But I just feel like, for me, this is like a deep foundation of everything, this understanding of what it is to be human. And I just feel like if I can fall back on this again and again and again and again, that life has openings in it, it feels like I can do it, and I can be alive and fully living. So that's kind of the place I wrote this from, as a place of self support, I guess, and self maybe affirmation or recentering or something. But just to remember this and to keep remembering it feels really important to me. So this is a little, I guess it's a poem called All the Golden Openings. And it goes like this. All the golden openings. Gold because they are precious. Gold because they are heavy and real. Gold because they're valuable. Gold because they're worth a lot. Sometimes seen as problems, sometimes seen as tragedies. Sometimes seen as inconvenient, sometimes seen as painful. Openings because they are chances to learn. Openings because new eyes and maybe even a new heart are required. Openings because doorways invite us through. Openings because new worlds are born when we treat them so. Sometimes seen as gifts, sometimes seen as purposeful, sometimes seen as blessings, sometimes seen as necessary. Always going to happen, always a rip in the fabric of our lives. Always support helps, always golden. Never without learning, never not hard, never not disorienting, never without the future being different. May all the cracks in our foundations be welcomed as golden openings, and may we receive the support necessary to treat them with welcome, curiosity, and kindness.
It's really something to hear you read it, Lizzie. Feel what that's like. So I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to make an invitation that we've made so many times. there are lots of different ways of listening to something being read. But one way to listen to it as you're listening is to feel the, let yourself soften enough and let yourself feel grounded enough that you can feel the truthfulness in this. There's so much that's true here. All the golden openings. Gold because they are precious. Gold because they are heavy and real. Gold because they are valuable. Gold because they are worth a lot. Sometimes seen as problems, sometimes seen as tragedies, sometimes seen as inconvenient, sometimes seen as painful. Openings because they are chances to learn. Openings because new eyes and maybe even a new heart are required. Openings because doorways invite us through. Openings because new worlds are born when we treat them so. Sometimes seen as gifts, sometimes seen as purposeful, sometimes seen as blessings, sometimes seen as necessary. Always going to happen, always a rip in the fabric of our lives. Always support helps, always golden. Never without learning, never not hard, never not disorientating, never without the future being different. May all the cracks in our foundations be welcomed as golden openings. And may we receive the support necessary to treat them with welcome, curiosity, and kindness.
Thank you, Justin. So lovely having something read back. Lovely. Justin, your microphone's rubbing on your shirt collar.
Ah. Which means that the microphone that I'm trying to speak through is not picking me up.
So, yeah, it's just rubbing on you.
And it shouldn't do now. Can you hear me now, Lizzie?
Yes, that's better.
As I'm connected through my other microphone.
Yeah, that's much better.
Well, there you go. There's a small technological opening in our proceedings.
A rip in our fabric.
A technological fabric.
So for those of you watching, Justin has furnished me with this very special technological fabric ripping microphone, and he's got the same thing, and that's how technical Turning Towards Life has become.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. And for those of you who can't see, it's this funny little kind of ball that sits in front of us so that we get a good sound quality. So I feel we've got an upgrade going on to Turning Towards Life, which is very exciting. So such a lovely thing to have read back to me, Justin, and just your voice and me closing my eyes and receiving it for myself is a very beautiful thing. And I guess the thing that comes to me as we read this is I can feel my definition of an opening as written here in part is this: when things happen that aren't part of my ordinary, habitual, sleepy narrative or story of what life is. So things that happen that aren't just me trundling along, carrying on as usual, doing what I do in my personality way. When things come across my path that are difficult or wonderful or awakening or stopping me in my tracks, this is what I'm doing my best to relate to life as, which is that each of these things that comes and rips something, that comes and awakens something, that comes and shifts something around, changes the order of things, the constellation changes, something significant happens. if I can relate to these things as the golden openings of my life, it's a really different life than, oh, here's another problem and there's something wrong with me and why me? And all of the things I know I could get up to if I didn't relate in a way that was life-giving to me, which is that we're here to learn. And so to orient this way brings a kind of faithfulness to my life that we can operate from, that we can employ as a, even as a conceptual thing, it's really helpful to say to myself, oh, maybe this is an opening. Maybe this is something to relate to from a place of wonder and curiosity rather than maybe I would collapse, or maybe, I mean, maybe I do collapse, but then there's something else. Like it's a place to relate to things from that isn't just my habitual reactivity. So my reactivity might be to fight, it might be to collapse, it might be to withdraw. And when I get onto that, I can re-relate to what's happening from this place of opening, and that there's gold in everything. And so far, in relating to life in this way, I've never found that it's not golden. Like, there's faith that I have in this that means that I can always learn. Again, never not learning, and whatever happens, I can find the truth in this. I can find the truth in the fact that everything's a golden opening. And who knows, it might change one day, but so far, and since being able to relate to life like this, I've never come to a dead end where the gold isn't present in whatever the rip is that's happened.
I'm very struck, as I was, Lizzie, when I was reading about that you've written this with two sides to it. So you've written about how openings, how we can see them, how we can make sense of them, but you've also written about their inevitability. So it's both true that there are many ways to see them, but it's also true that they will happen. I was reading a very, very moving piece just yesterday that was in one of the British weekend newspapers last week. The journalist, whose name is Eva Wiseman, and I think she must be in her late 30s, and she found out that she'd had a series of small strokes, and she was writing about what it was like to be in the midst of this, and she said all kinds of beautiful things about it, about how hard it was, and also about how she was trying to come at it. But one of the lines that she said, which, having read your poem, really affected me, was she said that she had been for some time learning to settle into living with welcome, with what it was like to be in a body that changes as it ages. And that she could see that so many people around her were fighting against being the age that they were. And that this is a great example of this kind of opening, but it's one of these ones that comes in stages, that our bodies change and we're really not in charge of that. We can help or we can hinder, we can play our part, we can make things more difficult for ourselves or less difficult for ourselves, but fundamentally we're always in an opening. Each day we wake up and we're different and our bodies are different, and what are we going to do about it? And exactly what you say, never without learning and never not hard to say goodbye, maybe to faculties that we've had or to a kind of strength I've known myself, or but given that it's an inescapable part of being human, that even right from the physical biological level, we're going to change whether we wish it or not. And this is before all the other things that are going to change and all the other things that are going to happen. I'm really appreciating your invitation here, that we have choices about how we come at this, because it's one of the great gifts. In a way, it seems to me, it's one of the great gifts and curses of being a human, is that we do have choices about how we come at it. And the curses is that we can come at it in ways that
pile on suffering for ourselves and other people. And one of the gifts is that we can come at it in ways that are truthful, but truthful and welcoming of all that these changes are going to bring. Because to fight against what's happening, I suppose that's the biggest definition of suffering here, is this is happening. So we might want to, there are all kinds of things we can do when something happens, but to fight against that this is happening really gets us and everyone in trouble. And then the other bit I was thinking about, Lizzie, whilst you were speaking, was that even our finding ourselves in the way that we are in relation to an opening when it comes, even that is part of the opening. So to find myself rageful that I'm ill, part of it is that finding out that I am rageful that I'm ill is itself part of the opening. And then I have choices not only about how I come at my illness, but also how I come at my own rage that I'm ill, and how I come at the way, I mean, we can get into an infinite loop here, but how kind I can be, I suppose, as we face the, what you say, that they're always hard. They're never not hard. They're never not disorienting to find ourselves in the midst of some big change. They're never without the future being different. And then we have some choice. And I was reading something yesterday that was on this theme. It was actually a very ancient text from the Jewish tradition, which was talking about how you might come at openings. One of the suggestions was that you might come at openings like this with love and reverence, which is so different from coming at it with resentment and despair and a wish to be in charge of everything all the time.
No, I was just thinking, Justin, we have our friend at the moment who's just lost her mum. And partly this is about that too. And just as you said that, I just can feel a way of relating to, you know, to even that, which is a soft allowing of all of the full spectrum of whatever the response might be inside of us to loss and separation, and really, really deeply hard things to get on the same page as and to accept. And it feels like when I drop into that, and the possibility of there being opening, even in death, even in the deepest rip of losing one's parent that we could be in amongst in our lives, there is a human freedom to relate in a way that allows the process to unfold, that allows us to soften into even the darkest places, even the most painful places. And for that, I feel so thankful that we can be with one another and we can do our small part in supporting the allowing, and that, as I think you're saying, not arguing with reality, you know, not having a fight with reality and therefore piling on the suffering, but softening and allowing and trusting that it can move through us and take whatever time it needs to take, and that we can continue to soften and have faith that even though it's hard, even though it's disorienting, even though the future doesn't look anything like what the present has been to now, we can relate in a way that is allowing and accepting, because of this opening sense of being a human being, that I can relate to things as expansion or widening of my experience or widening of my heart or breaking open of calcified things to see what else exists, like that we're ever, our being is ever benevolent, like there is a continual unfoldingness about being, that we can grow, that we can become bigger than what we feel right now. It's possible. And in that understanding and in that concept and in that knowledge and feeling, it feels like there is a path. Like this isn't just a dead end. This isn't a break that is then just broken. There is being that is ongoing. And it feels like there's hope in that. There's hope even in the darkest places. If I relate to life as a series of openings, I can keep walking faithfully through the feelings I'm having, the thoughts I'm having, the brokenness I'm feeling, the devastation I'm experiencing. And I can find even an inkling of hopefulness in not that anything is positive or okay, but that I can keep taking just the next step, and being is here to support and hold and allow and unfold us into life.
I think there's a, well, you've got me thinking about Lizzie and what you're saying and feeling into is how there are the parts of us that are sort of the storied parts, you know, that have, we have all of these stories about what's happening and our judgments. And it would be a mistake to imagine that we shouldn't have those, because those are parts of being human. But at the same time as we have all of this, the stories and judgments, which may be welcoming or not, if we can drop down underneath those, we find that beneath our habits and our familiar ways of seeing things, there's something of being a human that's more like a kind of depth. And that that of us, that sort of under is underneath all of our feelings and stories, is the part of us that can has the chance to really appreciate, if we'll let it, this point that you're saying about the benevolence of being.
Not too bad. Don't really know what to do.
Well, if we have to end early because you need to go, this will be part of the great experiment, the great opening of Turning Towards Life, is this is the week where Lizzie had to leave to take care of Vespa.
It might be. Also, I could just tell Matthew to bring her here and I can cuddle her while she's. That could also be an option. She's also new. I don't know. She's settled a bit now. Sorry to interrupt you mid-flow.
It's all right. Well, we have to take care of the little ones as we do this. There's no doubt about that. Okay. Well, I think that there's a way in which babies get this as well. I think we get this when we're very small, that underneath all of our suffering, if we can find that which is essentially benevolent about existence, which of course is itself a story, we can come at life with a story that existence is itself cruel. But when we can find that in existence, which is benevolent, that we are here and that life is unfolding in the way that it is, I think we have a much better chance of coming at whatever's happening and our own feelings about it with the faith that you're talking about. Mm. And that's also something that it's possible to cultivate. It's not necessarily a given that we'll find that orientation, but it seems to me that what helps it is two things. Is one is having practices in our lives which can attune us to the beauty and realness of things, so that we're not just sort of skipping off in our own minds into dissociation and being far away. So practices, that's why, you know, there's this, it's very fashionable, for example, to have meditation practices these days so that you can be calm and never feel any pain, which is a total mistake. Is to have practices which really help ground us in the world, like, I am here, gosh, I'm here, feel that this is real. That is extraordinary. And that the finding the realness of our presence here in the world can be a very powerful way into supporting us as the waves of inevitable change come our way. And the other thing, Lizzie, that struck me immediately the first time I read this was your line, always support helps. And that there is something about the particular kind of support that I want to draw attention to is the truth-telling kind of support, the simple act of telling somebody what's happening and having it be heard is part of how we can get ourselves out of an argument with that I exist and that this is happening.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was just thinking of, you know, the practices thing of attuning to different parts of our being, ourselves. And I feel like that is one of the gifts that having this new life in my life is bringing, is that frequently I'm in tears at the moment at the feeling of being, of this being that's me, that's this little baby girl, and also the realm that is me and my husband and how this is our little family. And it's a kind of enforced practice in a way. Like I can't not practice that. Like it's not like I have to sit down and meditate or something. It's a practice that I'm willingly taking up and not arguing with it being my practice now, to be with a lot this little person who we're getting to know and feel and understand. And in that practice, I feel attuned to very different realms than I'm normally attuned to in relating and in feeling and having faith in this being that we're talking about as well. Because there's a hell of a lot of being going on, but there's not this kind of formedness happening like with you and me and grown-ups. And it's an incredible encounter with, ongoing encounter with a new realm, which is somebody's life in its beginnings. And it does feel like a rip in my fabric. And it's a beautiful rip, but it's still a rip. You know, it's like, makes me think of Lyra and the subtle knife in Philip Pullman's Dark Materials, with the, when she cuts into different worlds with the knife. And I remember reading that feeling like, oh my goodness, that's an incredible way of relating to life, which is that when these things happen, we do step into different worlds. And then when this new world arrives, like this little baby, this is a new world, has arrived for me, I can either willingly participate and shift my practices, or I can try and control the situation to make it that I can just go back to how I always was again or something. So there's a kind of, I think, in all of these openings, there's a necessary willingness that is about accepting what's here and shifting my practices to welcome what's now here. And that's another way that suffering is lessened, because then I'm dancing with reality rather than resisting it or trying to fit the new reality into an old box that isn't the right size for this new reality or something.
Yeah, that's so peaceful. There's a wonderful piece of advice for all of us embedded in what you just said, which is, of course, also in what you've written. But you could say, we are again and again and again in our lives going to find ourselves in new worlds. And that's inevitable. That's what an opening is. So when we find ourselves in a new world, are we going to pretend and try and act as if we were just in the old world in order to ease our disorientation and our pain and our surprise and in order to be in control? Or will we be truthful and tell the truth? I'm now in a new world. I'm in a new world because I became a parent. I'm in a new world because somebody died. I'm in a new world because my circumstances changed. We could come up with endless ways in which we're in a new world. Or we're in a new world in this conversation because Vespa started crying or the microphones didn't work. Or, you know, there are micro and macro examples of this. So will we fight it and pretend? Or will we welcome, I'm in a new world, and then ask the question, how can I live here? And that the combination of both truth and welcome is what then calls forth our creativity and the possibility that we might start to practice our lives in a new form that meets the world as it is. And that's where our aliveness will be. And I think you said this earlier in words a little bit like this, because the alternative is a kind of forcing ourselves into a sleep. It would be like being from London, waking up one morning in Tokyo and insisting on speaking English to everyone, even if nobody speaks back, because I demand that I'm still in London. You can sort of, in that situation, you can just see how crazy that is. And it may be painful to learn Japanese and it may be disorienting, but it is still going to be the way into a life in Tokyo, Not the demand that things were the way they were. And actually that's what our openings are really like. And that's why they're golden and gifts, and they are difficult and disorienting.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is a really lovely conversation. I love what you just said, Justin. And I just feel blessed to just have this. I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful for everybody listening. I'm grateful for, maybe there'll be conversations that happen because of this. You know, I think that's the other thing about Tangle's life is just, I appreciate the ripple effect that it has. And I think you told me the other day that you'd met somebody who listens every week, and they were starting at the beginning,
yes,
working their way through. And like, I just hear that and think, my goodness, this is so bonkers and wonderful. And actually on that note, I wanted just to mention, me and my sister Holly are doing Turning Towards Love, which is our little gathering, our monthly gathering, tomorrow in London in Hammersmith. So if you're listening live, or you're listening before Monday the 11th of November 2019, we are going to be together from 7 till 9 p.m. in Recenter in Hammersmith. You can go to their website, which is recenter.co.uk, and look at the details. And we're going to be gathering in our little circle. And if anybody would like to join us, you're very, very welcome. And we will be winging it and working out what to do with Vespa and seeing how we can work that out. I don't know that yet, but we're going to try. And have it be that we're all together. So we'd love to see you if you'd like to come. And Justin, you've got foundation coaching in November as well.
Yes, I am running the Third Space Foundations of Coaching program on the 25th and 26th of November 2019, which is just 2 weeks after this conversation. And we still have space. So if you want to join us, check us out at wearethirdspace.org and click on Foundations of Coaching, and we'd be really, really glad to have you with us.
So thank you everybody for today. We will be probably live again next week. I think I'm going to have to say probably for the rest of my life now. And we will have another source from Justin next time. And thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week.
Bye, everyone.